So this is meant to be a recording of additional elements that get into Shir on Friday regarding Hu Yashin Ben Hanashim, Hi Yashin Ben Hanashim. So first of all, after Shir, Rabbi Nussbaum noted something very interesting to me regarding the Rambam that we saw, Hilchos Yisuri B, a parach of Beis Halacha Aleph, it was in Source Chav Hei on the sheet, where we said that the Rambam lists the general Isur Yichud with an Erva, and then he also talks about the case in which you have a chupas nida, a woman becomes a nida before they can have initial bia. Rambam isn't talking about a chupas nida, because in the Rambam's world, there is no such thing. But if she becomes a nida right after the chupa, so the language that the Rambam uses is asur lehisyached ima, ella hi yishena bein hanashim, etc. He's not allowed to have yichud with her, but rather she sleeps among the women and he sleeps among the men. So that would seem to support the rush that the Isser is not just at night in terms of sleeping, but rather even during the day they shouldn't be together. Although, we did note that I think even the Rosh didn't think it was actually an Isser Yichud during the daytime. Actually, I'm not 100% sure whether the Rosh went that far. No, the Rambam did, the Rosh did say, Yichud is Aser by day, looking at it now. It was the Rosh Maikata and Gimel Lamed Vav at the end. And yes, the answer is that would be consistent with the Rosh. Okay, so thank you, Rabbi Nussbaum. Continuing, though, from where we left off, and we had talked about the question of applying the logic that dictates that they should separate for sleeping to other cases. We said that this fellow is going to, or she is going to, take things lightly because Avelus is pushed off. So Avelus is also pushed off if somebody passes away during the Regel. Right? We take care of the burial during Chol HaMoed, but the Avelus doesn't begin till afterwards. So maybe there also, we should say, they should have to sleep apart. And some indeed have wanted to make that argument. The Rishonim note that somebody made this argument that indeed they would do... they would sleep apart. However, the Rishonim oppose it. The Ravid in Bali Anefesh in Prisha Beis opposes it, and that is Source Chavches, where he says, it's because, if you see where I bolded, there's a much greater promotion of Simcha during this period of time. There's an over-the-top Simcha of the Yimei Mishteh that Regel does not actually have. You can make the point that on Regel you're supposed to not only be glad yourself, but bring other people to be glad. Nonetheless, that's the position that the Ravid takes to explain why this is not done on the Regel. Then the Rosh also mentions this issue and also rejects it. In Source Chavtes, he says, "Delo dami kilusa dahacha." The part I bolded, the kilu beit fe shere meis lo meis kodem. The Rosh says, when you're dealing with the Avelus case, so the Petira happened, the death happened before the Yemei HaMishta, and yet we're allowing them to go ahead with the Yemei HaMishta. So that's a big Chiddush, whereas on the Regel was already there before the person passed away. And therefore it's a little bit more logical to say that we should push off the Avelus, and therefore we don't view it as such a grand kula. So we don't apply, for both of those reasons, from the Ravid and the Rosh, we don't apply Hu Yashin Bein HaAnashim, Hi Yashin Bein HaAnashim, where the death takes place on the Regel. So then we have to ask the following question. If we're really concerned that they're taking lightly the Avelus, would the rules be different where we think that there isn't such a great concern for wrongdoing? Example number one, where the couple had an opportunity for relations previously, and they didn't engage in it. So the couple got married, talking about the Nida case, right? So the couple got married, and then they had an opportunity for Bia Rishona. For some reason, they didn't engage in it. So would we then say they've shown that they're not so lahut, they're not so on fire to engage in this right away, and therefore we don't require Hu Yashin Bein HaNashim, Hi Yashena Bein HaNashim. So there is such a position. The Trumas Hadasha and Aleph, Chelak Aleph, Resh Nun Gimel, takes this position. He says, we see that the man does not have such an overwhelming Yetzer, and he compares it to an ox, a Shor HaMuad, in Bava Kamach of Gimel Amud Beis, where we say that an ox that was a Shor HaMuad can lose its Muad status if it sees has the opportunity to attack three times, and yet it doesn't attack, that shows it's no longer a Shoramud. And the Rama follows it. Rama in Yeridaya Kuf Tzadi Beis Dalet follows the Trumas Hadesh, and I brought it for you in source Lamed, in which he makes the comment, Yesh Omer Mimhaisa Taharak Shinesis Lobala, if she was not a Nida when they got married, and yet they didn't have relations, Upirsa Nida Acharkach, then she became a Nida, Eina Tzvicha Shimur Od, no further Shimur is needed. Ve'amachmir Tavol of Bracha, if you're Machmir, you should get a Bracha, but it sounds like the straight halacha, he thinks, is like the position of the Trumas Hadeshin. However, the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal, did not like that idea at all. He said, people are not oxen. People are more complicated, and he said, here specifically, yes, they abstained, but they abstained at a time when they had the opportunity to do what they wanted when they wanted it. So it was pas pesalo. They knew, yes, we can abstain now, but we'll have an opportunity later. Once she don't have that opportunity, maybe it becomes harder for them to deal with it. And therefore, he writes, they should have to separate, and even, he says, even if they had partial bia, but they didn't have full bia, we should still require them to separate. He says in source Lamed Aleph, afilu shimesh derech evara machotzi zera v'niskara ba, nonetheless, lo, we're not willing to say that even partial bia will have satisfied him. Rabbi Nasha Klein was asked about this, because he had written something that indicated otherwise, and someone wrote to him, pointing out the Siyam Shel Shlomo, I brought you the Mishnah Halachos, Rabbi Nasha Klein and Lamed Beis, Tes Kuf Pei Beis is where it's found. He acknowledges the Yamshel Shlomo's point in the case where there was no bia beforehand. However, where they had a partial bia, he says, no, in that case, there's no reason for requiring Hu Yashim Ben Anashim, He Yashin Ben Anashim. He points out the Yamshel Shlomo himself noted that there's less of a concern where they had some element, some partial bia. He notes other arguments, and in particular he says he's never heard of anybody say that you should separate a couple if they're having trouble completing their first bia, which is, you know, where this would go. If you say that, if you're going to tell me that where she becomes a nida, you don't rely on the fact that they had partial bia, then what about couples who, it happens, are taking a while to be able to succeed in bia? You're going to tell me that if she becomes a nida, they have to separate? He says, lohayud var meolam, that's just not so. So you seem to have machlokas, but the Rama is the Rama, and we would take him, I think, over this Yamshel Shlomo. Okay, certainly in the case where they had partial bia before, as noted by Rabbi Nasha Klein. What about if this is not their first marriage? They've been married to other people, not to each other, but they've been married to other people before. So this seems to be a machlokas between two Tosfosin. Tosfos in Yuma and Tosfos in Yevamos. Tosfos in Yuma thinks the rules do not apply by Alman and Almana. And that's, I brought it for you in source Lamed Gimel. Because of a limitation on time on my end, I'm not going to go through it, but you can take a look towards the end of Tosfos in Yuma and Lamed Gimel. Aval Alman, Afa Pisha Achshav Ein Lo Isha, Kiven Tekvar Haya Lo Isha, Ishtu Yishen Eba Becheder. Right? So Tosfos there thinks the rules don't apply to an Alman Almana. However, Tosfos in Yevamos, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, which I brought you in source Lamed Dalid, seems to disagree, has the Re disagreeing and saying, there's no distinction. The rules apply to everybody. And the Yamshel Shlomo says, we follow the Re. The rules do apply even if they've had a relationship, even though they've had relationships before. And that's the position of the Rama, as well. If you look at back at the Rama in Source Lamed, Ve'in l'chalik b'zeh b'in b'chor le'alman o b'sula le'almana. So that's the position of the Rama as well. Okay. Case in which we might not require Hu Yashin Bein Hanashim V'hi Yashin Bein Hanashim, the case in which he is a Talmud Chacham and he is known to respect Halacha, and therefore we think that the fact that we're more lenient regarding Shiva will not lead to a problem. The Gemara in Yevamos Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, I thought I had brought it on the sheet, I see I did not, gives the Man Hava L'Yoma case. The Gemara talks about a Talmud Chacham who travels to some distant city, and they're concerned that he might have some issues with his Yetzer Hara, and therefore they would identify a woman who would be his Kala there. And the Gemara asks, how is that going to work? We have a principle of Tavua Linase. Once she is proposed to, we treat her as a Nida. We require
you know, 7 days after that. So therefore, they won't be able to be with each other. So the Gemara answers that either they sent advanced people to set this up, and therefore there's no issue, or what the Gemara seems to say is they had yichud together, not bia, just yichud. To which, you know, that's a problem. How could they have yichud? Why wouldn't we say to treat this like a chuppas nida? So the Rishonim give multiple answers there. Tosfos in Yevamos Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. I gave you a list of the answers rather than actually bring all the sources. It's there in source Lamed Hey. Tosfos in Yevamos gives the answer that we're not really concerned that there would be bleeding as a result of being told that the Tam Chacham wants to marry her. After all, it wasn't actually expected that this would be followed through on. It was all just psychological. So therefore, we don't really anticipate a problem, and therefore Yichud is okay. It's not really that serious. A similar idea in the Ritva, that she knows that this is just there for psychological purposes. Mm-hmm. That's one answer. Jumping to the third answer, the Rashba gives an answer which the Meiri offers as well, and that is that Yichud here doesn't mean they had Yichud. Yichud here just means that they were designated for each other. But the middle answer is an answer offered by the Rashba, and that is that Talmidei Chachamim are trusted. He notes the fact that we're not really concerned that she would bleed, and he says, and the Talmidei Chachamim are careful. And so he makes the argument that Hu Yashim Bein Hu Anashim may not apply if you're talking about a Talmid Chacham. Okay. So that covers our discussion of Hu Yashim Bein Hu Anashim, Hi Yashena Bein Hanashim. One last item that I thought I would include in the shiur. The Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Beis has a line that's just part of the discussion. I brought a few in source Lamed Vav. Chodama Rav L'chia Borei. Rav said to his son, Rabbi Chia, Be'apa naho gavelusa, delo be'apa lo sino gavelusa. And when his wife was in Sheva, he said, if you're in front of her, so you carry out the acts of Avelus as well. When you're out of her presence, then you don't need to carry out, you don't carry out acts of Avelus. And this is also found with some discussion in the Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, which I brought in source Lamed Zayin. Interestingly, there is some debate as to a wife and a husband in this regard. The Ramban in Taras HaAdam, Shar HaAvel Inyan Krovim Hamas Ablim, says it only applies for a husband. However, in Mishnah Torah and Hachas Avel Beis Hei, and this is what's brought in Yeredeya Shin Ayin Dalet Vav, and that's what I brought you in Source Lamed Ches, says it applies for both husband and wife. There is no distinction. But the Ramban in Taras HaAdam says that this is not practiced. Well, he doesn't say this is not practiced, excuse me. He says that this is for the sake of the kavod of the Avel, and the Avel is able to be mochel. The Avel can say, thank you, but no thank you. The Rama in Shin Ayin Dalid Vav is even stronger, and that's in Source Lamed Ches. The Rama says, V'yesh omrim d'ha'idna no'agin l'ha'ke ba'avelu zeshel ha'mis ablim imo. He says the practice is to be lenient about this. De'ein ze'elem mishum kavod ha'mis ablim, because the only reason to do it is for the honor of the mourner. V'ach shav nagu kulam limchol, and now they're all mochel. And he says, today, people don't do it. And he says, anybody who actually does this is shocking. One should not take this on. So should a relative do it voluntarily? The Aruch HaShulchan says, absolutely not. In Source Lamed Tes. It's not like he's honoring the Avelim, he's mocking them. Even though normally we say that if somebody wants to carry out Avelus in a situation where it's not obligatory, he's allowed to. That's full Avelus. But this person is only doing it in the presence of the mourner. That's Havi Kaloeg La'Avel, is like you're mocking the Avel. Sure, right now I'm doing it, but later I can walk away from this. Va'od yesh lechalik ben kashos ha'adavar mitzad ratzon be'alma de'bezeh ha'reshus bi'adahu ben shaos ha'mitzad ha'din. Further, in this case, he's taking it on as though it was actually a legal obligation, as opposed to doing it out of just a feeling of desire to take on avelus. V'kevin shekvan is batel zeh havi kalog be'alma. Since it's not a practice anymore, it's just like mocking the avelim. He does not want one to do this. V'hanoeg avelus, and if someone is going to do it, you know, rak l'chumra v'lo l'kula k'moshlo lasok b'toro k'yotze b'zeh. He should only take on chumros, not kulos. He should not say, well, now I'm not able to learn Torah because I'm in this situation. The spouse is an avel. That's inappropriate.